Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to the disciples an idle tale, and they did not believe the women. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. When you're scared, but you still do it anyway, that's brave. That's a line from Coraline, Neil Gaiman's book and movie by the same name. I think it's true of the women that Easter morning at Jesus' tomb. They were scared, but they did it anyway, which makes them so brave. It's easy to forget or to ignore the trauma in these resurrection stories. Everyone stayed away from Jesus for good reason. He was in a dangerous clash with the religious authorities and with the Roman Empire, and anyone too close to him could end up dead. So his friends and his family and his followers kept their distance in fear for their lives. When Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus' body and buried him, the women carefully followed so that they would know where to find his body later. Presumably, they came to the tomb early in the morning because it was safer. How strange then, how frightening to find him gone. No body in the tomb, only two men in dazzling clothes. And who were they? Angels, maybe? They asked the women, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen." Why do you look for the living among the dead? That's a question, isn't it? A question we might all ask ourselves periodically. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why am I doing the same old things in the same old ways? And what patterns and habits need to die for something new and fresh to come to life? But the question the angels asked that morning provoked terror in the women. That's what Luke said. They were terrified. They saw Jesus die, although they kept their distance. They were still there at the cross. And even though they also kept their distance when following Jesus' body, they were still there. That Easter morning, they were scared to death, but they showed up anyway, only to find an empty tomb and two angels. And finally, the angels reminded them of Jesus' own words. They reminded the women that Jesus told them what would happen. At the time when he said these things, they didn't understand, and maybe they didn't believe, and maybe they didn't know that it could and would happen to someone they knew and loved. Luke writes, "Then they remembered his words." They remembered, and it made a difference. Even though they weren't quite sure what was happening, still they knew that this was important and they had to tell the others. So they told the disciples, the remaining 11 men. The text says that these words seemed to the disciples an idle tale. An idle tale, which is a bad translation because the Greek word here means garbage. The men thought the women's words were total garbage. And once you get over the sexism of the whole thing, it's actually sort of reassuring. Because if we have trouble knowing what to think about the resurrection, if we're not sure how to believe this story or what to do with it, remember this. Jesus' disciples thought it was total garbage. Except for Peter. Something stirred in Peter. He had enough curiosity and enough courage to run to the tomb to check and see for himself. Luke writes, "Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and then he went home, amazed at what happened." That's it. He saw the empty tomb, and he went home, amazed. End of Easter story. But it's not really the end of the story, is it? It's not the end of the story, because those brave women and that one curious man did not keep that story to themselves. Jesus' life and his ministry and then his death and his resurrection were so compelling, so stirring, that they had to share. They told everyone. They told everyone what they saw. They knew and loved and trusted Jesus. They traveled with him, sat and talked with him. They listened and learned from him. They saw what he did. And they stuck with him to the end and beyond, because Jesus' life changed their lives. Jesus lived an expansive life. To be expansive is to cover a wide area in space or scope. It is to be open and expressive. To cover a wide area in space or scope, to be open and expressive. That is how Jesus lived. That's who he was. Traveling the countryside, preaching, teaching, and healing, spending time with women and children, with the sick and the poor, the Pharisees and the tax collectors, confronting religious hypocrisy and calling out the sins of empire, Jesus lived an expansive life. Our theme this Lent, these last six weeks, has been full to the brim. Every Sunday for 6 weeks, we have examined God's lavish love and God's unending grace, culminating in this Easter sermon called An Expansive Life. The Easter story begins with trauma and terror, and it ends with new life, with hope, with resurrection. The women had to put down their spices. They had to remember what they knew about Jesus to come to a new and different, more expansive understanding of life. And Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times on the night of his arrest, he had to let go of his fear and his guilt and go see the empty tomb for himself. Each one of them went to the tomb that morning full of grief and sorrow, and they left full of hope, their lives expanded. Throughout Lent, we were reminded over and over again of God's lavish love and God's unending grace. And knowing that God loves us in this way, knowing that God offers limitless grace, what is the expansive life that God is inviting us to live? What if this is the resurrection that God offers to us this Easter? The poet Mary Oliver, in her poem, The Summer Day, asked the question this way: tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Isn't that a lovely way to put that? So this Easter morning, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Amen.
Hallelujah.